And welcome back to another episode of The Book Stop. I'm your host, Jen, and I'm very excited to talk about today's episode. But before we begin, there will be spoilers as we talk about major events that unfold within the story. In addition, each episode will have a list of trigger warnings in the description. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at The Book Stop Podcast and show your support on Patreon for early access to episodes and other additional content. And welcome back to another episode of The Book Stop. We're here, and it's Christmas.
We are.
What the heck? How is it already Christmas?
I have no clue, but hi friends, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays.
This is your little Christmas present from The Book Stop. If you haven't gotten your Christmas shopping done, it's a little too late, but you
know. It seems like at this point you haven't if you haven't subscribed to the Patreon.
True.
You can get a good Patreon subscription for one of your friends.
That is true.
Loved ones.
A little gift for yourself, even, if you want to treat yourself.
You guys can share logins. I won't tell. I ain't a snitch.
And yeah, we're back again. And who do we got with us today?
The Queen of Christmas herself.
Jenny Bayless.
Jenny Bayless. No, it is Sabrina. I'm back. I'm very happy to be here with you guys.
Yeah, so what are we doing today? What book did you bring for us to talk about?
A book. It is called The 12 Dates of Christmas by Jenny Bayless. Thought it'd be a fun little read, a little festive dating book, if you will.
It does have a very cute cover. Well, we're going to get started here, and we're going to play a little game to get us started out. So you are going to summarize this book in 30 seconds. Just try your best, and you may begin whenever you're ready.
All right, so The 12 Dates of Christmas is about our main character, Kate Turner, and she's kind of down bad a little bit on love. She hasn't had a lot of success, so she signs up for a dating service that plans 12 dates leading up until Christmas with some eligible bachelors in the area. Honestly, a lot of the dates sounded pretty fun, and she kind of realizes who her real love in this world is. Fabric.
Mince pies.
Mince pies.
All right, I'm going to summarize this book because I'm sure not many people have gone through the glory of reading this book and just, you know, came out on the other side. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to summarize it really quick for anybody who hasn't heard of this book. When it comes to relationships, 34-year-old Kate Turner is ready to say bah humbug. The sleepy town of Blexford, England isn't exactly brimming with prospects. And anyways, Kate's found fulfillment in her career as a designer. Can't already. Her career as a designer and in her delicious side job, baking for her old friend Matt's cafe. But then her best friend signs her up for a dating agency that promises to help singles find love before the holidays. 12 dates with 12 different men. But with each new date more disastrous than the one before, and the whole town keeping tabs of her misadventures, Kate must remind herself that sometimes love, like mistletoe, shows up where it's least expected. And maybe, just maybe, it's been right under her nose all along.
Wow.
So whimsical.
I'm just saying, I've never seen mistletoe in a place I didn't expect it to be.
I guess that is quite unfortunate.
I guess that's my problem, not Kate's.
Yeah. That sounds like your cookie to crumble, okay? She's gonna make a bunch of baking pie or baking
puns. Baking pies. I'm ready for you to roll them out.
Oh, I gotta put them in the oven first, so
oh,
I will.
Okay.
So what would you say in this book is your favorite quote?
I had two. The shorter, more straight to the point one is, a bigger pool doesn't necessarily mean a better swim. I like that one. I think, yeah, it was the best advice anyone gave her the whole time, which is true. You know, looking for love in London doesn't mean that because there's more people there that she'd necessarily find someone better.
No, I do agree with that. I think a lot of the passages in this book is like trying to be bigger than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only one that actually gave any significance.
When they said it, I was like, wow, something meaningful.
Yeah. But no, I definitely agree as well, because she goes off and talking about how she's been traveling all over the place too, and she's had plenty of opportunities to meet people along the way while she was traveling, quotation marks, the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she hasn't found any fish there. And coming home, she's expecting to find love in the small town where she kind of knew everybody already. It's like a city, like, outside of London, right? So it's, like, close to the city.
It was like an hour train ride or something.
Yeah.
But, like, England is quite small. So, I mean...
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe she set herself up to fail. Okay, I have my favorite quote, and then I have an honorable mention.
Okay.
So, my favorite quote is, Matt hasn't always appreciated Evelyn's support or her scolding when he was younger. But for the last decade or so, she had woke up every Mother's Day to a card and a bouquet of flowers on her doorstep. That was, like, the only time during this entire book with any relationship between any of the characters that actually felt something. I was like, okay, that's cute. There is depth there. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, one of the things we're going to talk about a lot in this book is that there's no depth to these characters. And everything, I wouldn't even say is surface level. It's, like, a reflection. Like, you're just seeing something from afar. And I just, I like that that quote because it shows that relationship between Evelyn and Matt. You said you had another one?
Yeah, my other favorite quote is, just for a little giggle here, it was pretty sure like an internal monologue of Kate's. And she said, a man is like an optional extra. You should only take one on when it's beneficial to do so. It's like refraining from the fourth plate at the all-you-can-eat curry buffet. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to have it. And, you know, I think she should have taken her own advice a little bit here.
Yeah.
Where it's true. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to have it. And I am all for supporting an independent woman who doesn't want a man in her life or doesn't feel like she needs it. Mm-hmm. But she also can change her mind at any moment and decide to find a partner. But I just thought it was funny, like, an optional extra. It's like a little add-on. Like, you can get the regular SUV or you can get the one with the sunroof. Like, really doesn't provide much in your life. It's just there. She, of course, bases her the whole rest of her life for this story on finding a man and what he could provide to her life, which,
yeah,
she went backwards, if you ask me.
Honestly, yeah. Normally, it is kind of the other way around, where it's the character, main character, finding herself with the absence of people. But this one, it's, like, flipped. It's, like, she finds herself through these people. And mm-hmm. It's, like, it's interesting.
Yeah, because she really did think that she had already found herself.
Yeah,
she's exactly. Like, I'm 34, I have my career, I have all this. I know myself, I know what I want. Mm-hmm. This is just gonna be something, you know, in case I'm a little lonely. But yeah. Then she really does find out more about herself, or at least tries to.
Yeah, I mean, like, what she wants. Because she was also saying, like, she wants kids, and this is kind of the last chance, she was saying, of finding romance before she moves on and just becomes a single mother. Mm-hmm. She was going on about how she was just gonna have a baby on her own. My other honorable mention I had was, Kate frowned as she mentally considered the sense of her sentence. That was literally me with this whole book. That's just how I felt the whole time I was reading this book. No, I'm sorry. Okay, I will say, as much as I want to make fun of this book, it was an enjoyable read, and we'll go into our likes in a second, but I will say that this book, there's a lot of things that I didn't like about this book. Mm-hmm. I don't give any hate to the author. She's trying. This is her book. I think this is her debut book, too, mm-hmm. So... I give her props for writing a book, something I haven't even done, right. So I'm not going to say anything. But if you put something out there to the public, the same as this podcast right now, it's susceptible to judgment and criticism, and people are going to base their opinions off of it. You can take it as you will. You can take that criticism and make yourself better with it, or you can take it and kind of shut down and not move on. You know, she has other books, and I'm sure... I haven't read any of them, so I'm not sure if they're better, but we're going to bash the book. So if you like this book... I apologize. We didn't love it. So if you are here for a raving review, maybe go check somebody else out.
But, like, hear us out, because maybe we'll make some points that you didn't think about.
Yeah.
I never mean any hate to an author, especially, like, I'm not even the most avid reader in this world. I read books when Jen makes me read them, let's be real. And I know it's hard to write a book. I've been writing for years. We both have. We know it's not an easy thing to do. And it is hard to put yourself out there and publish a book. I've seen tons of glowing reviews of people who love this book, and I'm very happy they found a book that they love, and they got what she wanted them to get out of it. But it's just not everything is going to be for everyone, and you don't have to like something just because you experienced it. But, you know, there's definitely some things that we have to talk about here.
There's definitely some things we're going to talk about here. Again, if you're here just to have a fun time, join the ride. Let's go.
Get you your cup of hot cocoa.
So what are some things that you liked about this book?
For me, I am a person who loves Christmas. I'll shout it to the rooftops. I love Christmas. I love decorating. I love just the spirit of the holiday. I love being around all the people I love. Immediately, I went at this book with a, okay, this is going to start out my Christmas season, you know, with a little bit of extra cheer. That made it a little bit easier to get into of just the excuse of, oh, well, it's Christmas. So, you know, let her have her fun. Mm-hmm. But I love a Hallmark movie. I really do. This book was essentially a Hallmark movie. It's not something I've ever seen in a Hallmark movie, and I think it actually might make a good one. I mean, I would watch it. If it came out, even though I'm not the biggest fan of this book, I would watch it because I think it would be entertaining to see all of this stuff go down. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they would shorten it enough to make it into a movie, but, you know, it had the cliches, the things that you can expect. I liked that although a lot of the men she went on dates with felt similar in some ways, they did have different personalities as far as, you know, not all of them she got along with immediately, and some of them she just ended up not liking at all, or they didn't like her, which I liked that realistic part of it.
Yeah.
I did like some of the characters. None of the main characters, most of the side characters were fun. There was some, like, fun little, like, side backstory things we learned that didn't matter for the plot, but those were, like, the most entertaining ones. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the fact that it was British, because I don't feel like I've really read a book that was, like, by a British author that felt very British before. So that was, like, kind of different, but it was a little hard at times. Like, I usually understood what she meant, but sometimes I'm like, what is this wording of this? Like, just the slang terms and stuff that she would use. It was definitely a Christmassy book.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was a great concept, and I was really excited for it. It's unfortunate it fell a little flat from what I was hoping, but I think the idea behind it is something I haven't really seen very many times, and I do like that when a book can be a little bit different and throw something out there that I haven't seen 8,000 times, especially because Christmas can be very cliche and overdone with the things they pick. They do a lot of the same thing over and over, so it was nice to have something a little different. Writing-wise, there was a lot missing, but story-wise, it was enjoyable. I had fun while I was reading it.
No, I definitely agree. I definitely think the idea was there. Mm-hmm. I think this would have been super, super cute if it was executed a little bit better. 12 dates is a lot. It's 12 dates in 23 days, so that's, you know, a date every other day. So it's a lot. So it's a lot to go through. And this isn't that big of a book. I think it was like 300 and something pages. So to get all of that, as well as all the background stuff with Kate and her friends, Laura and Matt, and then getting all the history of her parents in there and getting all that stuff in there, the dates kind of fall back a little bit and they're not as important. And you kind of expect it to be the other way, I guess, which we'll talk about in a second. I really liked the chapter names. I thought those were really cute. They rhymed, which was cute, and it gave an idea of what was going to happen in that chapter. There's a lot of scenes that made me, like, laugh out loud, and not always for a good reason. Like, I was just like, what is happening right now, or why would they say this, or not necessarily, like, cringe, secondhand embarrassment. It was just, I was just, like, confounded. I was just like,
yeah, I was thrown off a couple times. Some of the things is just like, what did that mean? But also some of the things like, why would you say that? Just super random. But with that, I did really love the chapter names too. And I really liked how the chapters were broken out. Because sometimes, in my opinion, I think books can have way too many chapters. I don't think a book that's 300 pages needs 40 chapters. Like, I get it's good, like, stopping off points for reading, but I really liked that the chapters were, like, labeled for the dates. There was only 14 chapters, so that was I thought that was the right amount for a book this size, honestly. I just, I hate overdone, like, 8 million chapters, and it keeps
James Patterson
breaking. It feels like it breaks up the story a lot more. This one where you can kind of keep going throughout it, even go through a couple days within one chapter. And
I mean, there's some chapters that were, like, over an hour long, and I was like, this could be broken up a little bit. But it doesn't really bother me, because I'm a very much a, I'll stop in the middle of a page. I just read into my attention spans, like, okay, I need a break. But I thought the chapter names were very cute. Unfortunately, that's all the really likes I had. So what are some things that you disliked about this book?
A lot of cliches, very British, which I, like, was kind of mad I understood what she was talking about majority of the time. Mm-hmm. It just, she said it in a way that I was like, I've never heard that in my life.
I didn't really get that. Like, maybe I just read a lot of British
books. I think
you just
read a lot of British books or watch British TV shows. Watching too much Heartstopper.
Oh, okay. I also read, like, One Day in December, and that was very British. Mm, okay. But I didn't get that vibe in this book. Like, there was maybe a couple things that I was like, okay, that's very British. But you were telling me, I was like, this is so British. And I'm like, I just
I felt the phrasing of things was just so off. Like, it was mainly when they were talking to each other. I think I'm a person who's pretty easy to please as far as any type of media I consume. I'm usually not super judgy about things. I kind of just go with it. If you can keep my attention, then I'm happy. I really hated that 3 pages into this book, I knew what was happening in the ending. I usually do not catch on. Like, if Jen figures it out, that's not surprising to me, but it takes me a while to figure out what's going on in anything. This one, it was the second that she walked into that cafe, I was like, cool, I know exactly what's happening. And I kept just, like, hoping she would prove me wrong, and I kept being disappointed that she didn't.
Me too.
And, like, I was just waiting for something. Like, I don't think there was a single thing that surprised me in this book. There was, like, a couple things that I was like, oh, I didn't really think of that happening, but it wasn't, like, a shock. I don't love when it's so predictable that, and the ways that she tried to, like, derail you to be like, oh, but he has a girlfriend. Okay, that right. gave me nothing. He didn't even seem like he liked her that much, let's be real.
The thing with the girlfriend is, like, the entire time, I wasn't the fact of, he has a girlfriend, they're not going to get together. It was, like, what's going to make them break up?
Right.
Because I knew that they were going to break up at some point. And then, obviously, we meet Oliver and all that happens. But I'm like, what is it that's going to be the misdirect of all of this whole thing? For the predictability, I think, so me and Shelby did Kiss Her Once For Me earlier this month. Mm-hmm. And to listen to it, it's a great episode, but she went on about how Christmas books are just extremely predictable, and that's just, like, the genre of that.
Yeah.
And that's just that genre, is that it is predictable, because it has, like, a formula, I guess. It has to be a certain way for you get that, like, satisfaction at the end, I guess. But if you're throwing curveballs in, so I think Christmas books are supposed to be, like, a little predictable, because that's the Hallmark vibe of it.
Yeah.
Every Hallmark movie is the same, because that is the formula that sells, and I think it kind of falls into books as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Obviously, if I'm going into a Hallmark movie, I know it's going to be predictable. I haven't read a ton of Christmas books. Last year, I think, was, like, the first Christmas book I really remember reading.
Mm-hmm. We did You're a Mean One, Matthew Prince.
And I liked that book.
It was good.
I thought that one was a little more fun, definitely a better small town vibe than this book.
Yeah.
This vibe of this town was the weirdest town I've ever seen. I don't understand how within 30 seconds everybody knew her business, or why everybody cared. Like, you would think that she ran this town by the way that people cared about her. Like, it felt like there was somehow 12 people in this town, but also 500 morphed into these 12 people that just roamed around and did the same thing all the time, and they just did what they had to do. It felt like it was, like, a town that is stuck in Christmas. Like, I don't even know what this town would look like in the summer, what they would even spend their time doing.
How I went about thinking of it is, like, everyone's an NPC. Everybody felt like an NPC. Everyone was doing the same things. As bad as it sounded, no one had a personality to them. Everyone was very either stereotypical or very stagnant. They didn't move at all. And that just made the world so boring. I didn't care about any of the characters.
That's true. Kate herself, there were side characters I cared way more about than I did about Kate. If this book ends and the only person that's happy is her dad, I'll be fine. I literally cannot care about anyone else in this book.
So one of my dislikes is the relationship between Matt and Kate. Let me get settled here, because I'm about to go on. That is, like, my biggest thing. I hated Matt and Kate's relationship. Kate, main character, Matt, the friend that they had a thing together, and then it got broken off, and then because his family died, and all this kind of stuff, and then now they're back together as friends again, and now he's kind of, like, low-key jealous, and then also not, and, like, there is no tension between them. I didn't feel any attraction. That's the only thing that I was like, maybe they don't get together at the end. There was that slight hesitation where I'm like, it could possibly not be him because there's nothing. There's no chemistry between them.
There's no reason why you should think that they would get together, but somehow just following the formula, you know that they will.
Exactly. That's the only reason why. Yeah. It's because there was a formula.
There is absolutely no reason. Like, you see him and you're like, okay, old friend from childhood, the way that he, like, looks at her when she comes in the room, you're like, cool, that's the love interest. But then you keep seeing it, and you're like, where's the love? Where's the interest?
Exactly. They are so focused. Like, I think the author cared more about them being friends that it felt like they were siblings. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like they had a history together. It felt like they were literally, they made fun of each other and they bickered back and forth. And I'm not saying that you can't have that with a romantic interest. It just didn't feel like, normally you like bicker and then after you're like, oh wow, you know, you're a little hot and heavy. But these guys were like, just like giggling and be like, okay, see you home later. It felt weird. It just felt like they were siblings. I don't know. I hated it, though.
The correct way to have a relationship is for you and your partner to be able to bully each other and make fun of each other and mess around like that, because then you keep that fun element. But it shouldn't be that only and the entire time. You should feel some other emotion between them besides the fact that, like, everyone in the town just kept being like, well, you guys are always bickering. You're always on each other's case. And then, but then also everyone in the town is just, like, not surprised at all. And they're like, about time. And I'm like, what were you guys seeing that we didn't see? Like,
there's a line that when I read this line, I blew up to myself. I was, like, talking to myself, like, that doesn't make any sense. Because, so this is Mac, her dad. They're talking to each other. And he says, you have this way with each other. And I'm like, where? What? I was like, you never see this. You sympathize and you understand him. We do not see that at all. Like, at all. Mm-mm. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And at this point, it's just, I'm sorry, Jenny, but it's just bad writing. It's bad planning. It's not developing your characters out. And it's not having that history. Like, she tried to scatter it in throughout. Like, we find out that Kate and Matt were together in college, I want to say.
An incident, essentially, is how it was, like, put. It wasn't, like, a conscious decision, accident, where they got together, and then Matt blew up and didn't want to be friends with her anymore, and then they didn't talk for years.
10 years. 7 or 10 years. One of the two.
I think it was several.
Yeah. At least 7. I know that. But yeah. And then you don't get to see them coming back together, which is fine, but what was the thing that brought them back together? And that was, like, another thing I didn't like about this book. The amount of information dump within the first chapter alone, there was so much. And it's not just, like, throughout the whole thing. It would, like, start to sprinkle, and then it would just start pouring, and then it would be clear skies for a while. And then, again, information just dumped on you. Like, learning about Matt's background in literally one paragraph. Mm-hmm. Find out about his sister and his mom dying. You find out about bakery, everything in one paragraph.
There was no lead up, and then it moved on so fast from it. And it's like, then the shop closed down, and it got taken over by new owners, and then eventually he bought it back, and then he did all this, and I'm like, I don't even know who these people are yet.
This was in the first, like, few chapters.
So often, it was full, like, lore dumps. Mm-hmm. I think my last dislike I'm gonna just talk about right now, I have other talking points, but something I disliked is that stupid hill.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like we talked about this hill up to this manor, but I still couldn't even comprehend how this place was laid out. Mm-hmm. No matter how many times we explained, like, okay, I know that the cafe is next to that. I kept calling it a tavern. I've been playing too much D&D. Mm-hmm. But it's next to the pub, and then she's down the street, and then her dad is, like, in her backyard. I'd have no idea how this place is laid out. And she walked us through it so many times. It was just, like, felt like I had no direction in this town. I didn't understand how she was walking everywhere. And at some points, she said 5 minutes, and other times it felt like she was walking for 2 hours outside. Because her car could never make it up the hill in the snow. Richard could get up it just fine because he has some SUV. And I'm like, but is it the SUV or is it just because it was convenient for him to need to get up the hill? And it was better for you to be walking because then you could see more and talk about more. Because someone driving down the street isn't interesting.
Right.
But someone walking, there's potential to run into other people. And, you know, the conflict of her having to walk past the cafe every time when she was mad at Matt. I literally could not draw you how this place was laid out. The manor was throwing me off too, because it's like, there's these, like, a lord and lady of the manor that live there.
Yeah.
But then, like, we don't really talk about them, but then they're, like, needy and they want all this stuff. And I'm like, what does this have to do with Kate?
It didn't. It had something to do with Laura, and that's why they kept pulling her away from the story, is that we made Laura work there.
Yeah.
And that was the only reason why it mattered, because it didn't matter to Kate at all.
Right. It was so much snow and so cold that she couldn't drive, but she could just walk outside for hours and is fine. She's not sick. I don't know if she's just built different, but I can tell you that I could not walk 6 miles down the road for 3 hours just for fun.
Yeah.
Because sometimes she just did it for fun. It wasn't even because her car wouldn't go.
Yeah.
It's like, get a new car. She clearly has a career. She could pay for one.
Exactly. Which...
Don't even get me started in the career.
Dude, the amount of hobbies this girl has, too. I just have a couple more things. A few more things. I hated the fact that they would poke out their tongues to each other or do, like, very childish things. Yeah, she's 34. I'm not saying that you don't do that with your friends. Obviously you do. But it's, like, all the time. Matt walks by and I stick out my tongue at him. Or, you know, he makes a silly face at me. I don't know. I hated it so much and it kept bothering me. Why did we talk about Dan so much? He wasn't important. He didn't bring anything to the story. Yet he was mentioned so many times. And I'm like, bring it up once. Be like, hey, this is Kate's ex that she recently dated. It didn't work out. They dated for 4 years. Didn't work out. Bring him up once, maybe twice. But at this point, she's trying to move on. And there's nothing that he did that's holding her back, really. It was just, you know, they broke up.
Right. There was no reason to be hung up on him.
Exactly. Move on. Mm-hmm. If he did something bad, like maybe he cheated on her or he did something to break her trust, that's different. At least she didn't say anything bad of what they broke up about. So why are we still talking about him? Move on. It doesn't matter anymore. And then my last one, my biggest dislikes is just the dates. They were just not there. With the driving force of this, the 12 Dates of Christmas, that's what I wanted the most, was more information on the dates, who they were. I don't care about her making brownies, okay? Or her crafting or painting or drawing. As bad as it sounds, I don't care about her. I want...
That wasn't the point.
That wasn't the point. Let me learn these things, like, through the dates. Yeah, I wish the dates were just a little bit more developed out.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was the cute idea of the story, but we didn't really get.
We just talked about mince pies 8,000 times in making them. I don't even know what that is. And I don't care about what it is. I don't care about all this food she's making. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the story, besides the fact that it's something that she makes food for the cafe. I don't even know if she gets paid for it.
No, they said that...
Oh, she got free coffee for life. Yeah. But, like, I don't know if that's worth it.
Yeah.
Personally.
So who would you say is your favorite character?
I liked Kate's dad, Mac. He, like, felt more real than the rest of them as far as, you know, she did mention that he had some mental health issues that he needed help with once her mom left. And it felt like there was a little bit more put into his backstory, I guess. It was stuff that made sense. And he felt simple. He just lived his daily life. He did a lot of the same things over and over, but he was happy doing that now. And, like, I liked seeing the fact of her talking about him before and then him starting to become happy again and trying to find love again. He was a nice guy to have around. I still think he was missing a lot of development. Obviously, he wasn't one of the main characters, so I understand not focusing on him as much. The only thing I didn't like is that he was just always in her house, and that felt so weird to me. Knock a little bit, maybe, instead of just walking in all the time. I hope he knocks now.
I will say, though, I do like Mac. I just wish there was a little bit more with, especially with his mental health, and, like, explaining that. Mm-hmm. They went into it a little bit, but they didn't really explain it that much, and you don't really see the aftermath of that and, like, what changed about him, because obviously we don't know anything about before that. For sure. But I know all of these characters are very surface level. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I have a favorite character. Again, everyone is very NPC. Like, everyone feels like a random character floating around in the background, like in a video game. No, I like Drew, obviously. I think Drew was refreshing. I think he added a little bit extra spark. Was he a very, like, stereotyped? A little. A tiny bit.
Yes.
Kind of. But, you know, it is what it is.
Was at least he the token gay best friend in the Hallmark movie and the only person of color in this town that was at least referenced? I don't know for sure, but
I think somebody was of Asian descent. One of the dates was.
I think so.
I want to say Adam, but I'm probably lying. One of them was.
It definitely wasn't. Adam was the Scottish one, I believe.
Maybe.
Somebody. I mean, I guess he could have been Asian and Scottish, but I don't think it was him. But I do remember there was a... Oliver was Indian.
Oh, yeah, as Oliver was Indian, yeah.
But, like, I mean, they're in it for a second. Here, let's have the only main person of color and the gay person just be the same one. Then we can only have to have one.
Yeah. Again, I didn't like any of the characters in here, but Drew was kind of a breath of fresh air. Kind of lightened up the mood a little bit more. They were, like, instant friends, because, you know, he's gay and that's how it works.
Right. And all he did was just call her sexy and everything all the time. Because
and she was instantly okay with him, even though she met him hours ago.
Yeah.
They had their date. They went salsa dancing. They had their date. And her car gets stuck, won't turn on. The next morning, he's like, hey, did you make it home? And she's like, yeah, I ended up, you know, this other guy took me home. My car wasn't working. He's like, why didn't you text me? And she's like, why would I text you? I just met right. you.
I did love that she was like, what? Were you going to give me a piggyback? Yeah. That was funny.
That was funny, yeah. But you don't just instantly trust somebody just because they're gay. Like, I mean, are they more trustworthy? Yes. But do you trust a random man? No.
Are they instantly more trustworthy? Yes. But should it be a straight man playing a gay man? You never know.
Why? Okay, I have a question. Why was literally everyone hot?
That's the same question that I had for you. I liked that they had some different personalities. She didn't immediately like all of them. They didn't immediately all like her. The way she described them is like she flipped through a freaking H&M catalog, but they're all just like hot single dads or just hot men who got divorced, didn't work out. Like, why?
Not all of them.
That's true. They all were just conventionally attractive men. Mm-hmm. There was not one of them that she looked at them and was like, I'm not really attracted to him right away. Yeah. She was just like, oh, he's so hot. Oh my gosh. They're all just so hot and dreamy and 6'3" and shut up.
After the fireman, I was like, come on. When ice skating with the fireman.
I forgot about the fireman.
She's like, oh, he's so hunky. And I'm like, where's the dad bods at?
Dude.
Like, where are the short canes?
Show me a dad in real life that has a six pack. I want to see him.
Exactly. It bothered me. It added a layer of, like, unrealistic standards to men. I don't know. I didn't like it. And it really threw me off. And it disconnected a lot of the dates for me, too. Because I'm like, okay, it's just another man that's emotionally unstable or another man that has issue. And I don't know if that is, like, adding a layer of she's looking past their pretty and seeing their underneath and seeing they're not good men or something like that. Whatever it is, I just did not like that they were all hot.
I think that their personality-wise, she just had to find a reason for her to not like them and like Matt instead. But, like, maybe don't make them all so hot and she won't like all of them. I mean, you could really think of it as, like, maybe it's the dating app's fault. Maybe they were being super shallow about it, where they were only accepting people who they thought were conventionally attractive into this thing. But, like, It was so unrealistic. Especially, you're in a small town.
Well, so the lightning strike, that's the group that was organizing the dating. They said they collected applications from all over the area. So it wasn't just in this town. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, all around England's outskirts of London. It would bring in, like, obviously more people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you definitely don't need to have only hot people that apply, that you pull from. It's just like two piles. So there's the hot pile and then there's the
Maybe they just matched up the people they thought were ugly.
Yeah.
But we just didn't see that because, you know, Kate was, she was just so hot. And right. Just 34-year-old woman.
30, flirty, and thriving.
God. But I want to talk about Kate for a minute.
Okay.
Kate is everything I hate in a main character. It is a person who thinks everything in this town is about her.
Yeah.
When very few things were actually about her in this town. She's such a, like, an idealized version of a woman in their 30s. She had no flaws. There was nothing about her that was real. She could just do anything she wanted, whenever she wanted. All the self-control in the world. Didn't make mistakes. She didn't mess up on things. She just went about her day and did whatever she needed. And she, you know, got all this downtime, and she has a career, and every time she described her getting ready for one of the dates, I wanted to fight someone. Mm-hmm. Where she's like, she put on a smear of red lipstick and put her hair in a clip, and she put on her Christmas jumper and she left. And I'm like, sure she did.
Right.
Okay? Nobody does that.
Right.
Especially because of how much she talked about how much money this thing was. I'm gonna put the full works in every time. Mm-hmm. Full beat. I'm waking up at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm 34 and I'm looking, this is my last shot. I'm putting all that effort in.
Exactly.
And that's not shallow to do. I think that's completely fine. And if she prefers to look like this, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't have to wear makeup or get all ready to go on these dates. She wants to be a real version of herself, but she is not a real person. Even, like, as a character, she's such a, just, like, a fake person. She can just do everything, no matter what. She can, you know, do all these crafts. She is a designer. She also can cook and bake anything.
She's a photographer, too, I think.
Yeah, she threw in these things to, like, make her feel real, like, she sat on her couch with, like, a bottle of wine, chocolate bar, and you're like, wow, she's just like me. No, she's not, okay? She is not like you. She's not like any of us.
The only scene that I felt she had any realism to her is the scene when her car broke down and she just freaked out because she didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. That was, like, the most realistic thing about her. That's pretty realistic. I'm not saying all girls and all women in any way, shape, or form are this way, but I know whenever I have car issues, I just freak out.
Yeah.
So I was like, I related to her in that point because I would have no clue what to do.
Right.
You're 45 minutes away from home, there's a blizzard going on and your car's not starting, mm-hmm. and the bar you just walked out of closed and there's no one around. Like, I would have been freaking out at that point too. And then some random man walked up to your door.
Yeah, and I would say she probably trusted him a little too soon. Yeah. Obviously, she recognized him from, like, his picture that she had seen, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean you know him. I liked that at first she'd, like, roll down her window a little bit, and she's like, what? Like, leave me alone. I'm a woman out here by myself. You can't just expect this to be fine.
Yeah.
But then she gets out of her car within, like,
and gets in his
1 minute and gets in his car, and I'm like, well.
But no, I definitely agree. She felt like a robot, mm-hmm. or a figment of what a person should be.
Mm-hmm.
She had, again, no depth to her. There was no realism to her. She just felt like this main character that was here to serve the plot but wasn't given a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely agree. And, like, her hobbies were so annoying, especially because they got so much screen time.
Mm-hmm.
It went into so much detail about her baking and about her fabrics and about her job. And I would say the first few times, that's fine, show that she's passionate about it, but it's like every single chapter is something about it.
Yeah.
And it shows the author cares about that. She's a very crafty person, and she clearly knows what she's talking about, but as a reader, where are the dates?
Right.
Where's the love interest? Where's the scandal? Give me something else. I don't care about fabrics that look like the color of rose petals, okay?
I don't care that your editor asked you to make the fabric in two different colors with two different, I don't care. I really don't.
Yeah.
That's cool. I get that her passion in life was this job, was her designing, and she got it. I think it's something that I've seen a lot, and I know that I did when I first started writing, is you make a character that is the image of what you want to be, and so you make them so perfect. Their life is put together, they have all these hobbies, they have time for everything, they don't have fears, they don't have flaws, they're willing to do anything at any time, and it's just whatever, it's fine. And like, I think a lot of people fall into that. Reading about the author, it said like she used to be a baker. I get she's knowledgeable on it, and that's cool to throw that in there and use some of that knowledge, but like, no one is the perfect woman. That's fine. Like, everyone is so different, and people can have that many hobbies, but you have to balance it out with things. It's so hard when your main character is not relatable in any way, and like, even if we just showed her flaws, like, internally when she's by herself, it would have made me care about her, but I didn't. I didn't care about her or anything that happened to her in this. I was, like, interested to see how the dates went, because I thought there was a lot of really good date ideas of things that they could do. I just felt like she just happened to be good at everything with the dates. The only thing she wasn't good at was ice skating. And if you give her a 6'3" firefighter to carry her around, she doesn't need to be good at ice skating. Exactly. And honey, I don't need to be good at ice skating either, okay?
All right, so we're going to take a second here to shout out the Patreon subscribers.
All of these people are on Santa's nice list this year. They're going to get an extra little present under the tree, and it is this book.
Oops, sorry.
So, yeah, sorry. Extra thank you to Nick W., Bree P., Mike T., Jack J., Patrick C., Emily P., Janeth P., Tim O., Ashley A., and Lulu.
All right. Thank you guys so much for supporting the podcast. It means the absolute world to me, and I love doing this, and I'm glad that a couple people are listening to it. That's pretty cool. If you guys want to be part of the Patreon shout out, head over to Patreon and subscribe today. So I have a question for you.
Of course.
So what was your favorite date idea, and who would you want to go with on that date?
What a great question. I can tell you it is not the movie in the park on December 23rd.
Oh my God.
That, that made me so angry. I was like, I know that England is just as cold, if not colder, as it is here in Michigan. Please don't put me in a park on December 23rd and expect me to sit there and watch a movie just with a little blanket. Okay. Mm-hmm. The date that I want to go on, because I just want to put myself in this situation that she was in. I would really like to go on date with the architect with the gingerbread house. That one, I had the most fun reading that one, because to me, I thought it was so fun. I think it was Adam. I'm pretty sure that one was Adam. He was the Scottish one. He had long hair. Of course he was hot. Everybody was. It really wasn't even for just like Adam's looks. I do like making gingerbread houses. She really wasn't leaning into it as she should have. He was having the time of his life trying to show off his special skill that he has.
He did get really angry.
I know. And that's, I personally thought it was really funny. He brought supplies from home.
Yeah. He put on, he brought his little like measure.
He brought things out of his bag.
Skylight.
To make this, he was ready. He knew already before going into this date. He probably signed up for this thing just to go on this
date. Oh yeah, absolutely.
If he could sign up for it 12 times, he would have. I thought it was so funny. When it was like architect for gingerbread house date, I was like, oh no. He shows up and then he just is so specific about how he wants this place to be built and how she just is not allowed to suggest anything because all of her ideas are outdated. She's not thinking outside the box. And then she acts childish and starts decorating it like crazy and ugly just to piss him off.
Yeah.
And then he acts even more childish and is pouting, standing there, and then smashes the gingerbread house.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was hilarious. I understand it was incredibly childish of both of them for people in their 30s. Like, come on. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
And like, I would love to just be in that position of sitting there just like, would it be the most fun? Probably not. We would probably argue the whole time, but I think it would be really entertaining. And that's the thing that I care about the most. Jen.
I don't know.
I have a question for you. You can't pick Drew.
I didn't pick Drew, okay, actually.
Because it would be cheating. Because let's be real, if I'm going to go on any of these dates, I'm going to pick the gay man. I don't want to meet with a random strange 30-year-old man.
Right.
They're all gross, for the most part.
I said probably Phil. Because Phil was actually decent. He had a good conversation. Kate and Phil really got along really well together. She was actually going to be like, you know, I want to pick Phil as my date for the holiday, but he ended up moving back to Australia. So I really liked him. Also, Australian accent. Hello, thank you. Yeah. Yes.
He was like a tan surfer boy.
Yeah, too, he was. Type. But, or the firefighter. I mean, he's got kids. He was a good dad. He was strong. He got money. So I was between Anthony or Phil. For the date, probably gingerbread house making would be really fun.
Yeah. We could be right next to each other.
I also think if I was in the situation where I was going on these dates with people, I would want to do the dates with the maids one, just so I could have somebody there that I knew that I could talk to and not have to be like just awkwardly feeling like I'm in a game show with these people.
I'd go with you.
Okay, thanks. We could bring Adam. We could bring Adam. Yeah. He'll start making houses like 51st Dates out of French toast.
He just, everywhere he is, he sees a house.
Yeah.
He's just like, he goes on the cursed wine one. He's using the wine bottles and he's building a house. He's not drunk at all either.
No. So I want to talk about something that kept coming up in the story that I felt was very unnecessary, but was very compelling and kind of confused me a lot. And that was the Blexford knitting sex kittens.
I tried to ignore them every time they came up. Because, don't get me wrong, I love the idea of a group of women getting together to craft. Like, that is my dream.
That's my date, actually.
It's just hanging out with them. But what? Why? No one ever explained why they were called that. No. And they all just said it like it was the most casual thing ever.
Yeah.
And, like, they made some beautiful things, it sounded like. But why?
I have no idea. I don't know if that's an inside joke with Jenny, the author, if she did that with a friend, was like, oh my god, you should totally do this, and then forgot to change it when she published this book.
Whoever proofread it was like, that's interesting, and just didn't mention it. They just thought that's what she wanted.
So I want to talk about Matt for a little bit.
Matt. Did Matt have a last name?
You know, I'm sure he did.
It's Pear Tree, I think.
You know,
Matt Cafe. He's probably gonna take her last name. He's kind of a simp like that.
I mean, if you guys know, if you read this book and you know Matt's name, go to my Instagram, comment it, because I have no clue. See, Matt, I think, is a huge missed opportunity, and I wanted to do a whole talking point on him and not save it for the end, because it's just, I don't even know how to begin. Let me start with this quote. Learning about Matt's history, about his family and everything. The quote is, and behind that, silently festering, a kind of insolent, a sense that he was owed happiness, that life owed him. That's what you're trying to set up for your character. You're trying to get this in-depth background on it. You don't give anything to support it. It tries to show that Matt is wrecked by what happened to him when he was a child, yet we don't see anything with Matt. Mm-hmm. You're trying to set up that maybe Matt is unhappy. He never looked unhappy when we saw him in the cafe. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's grown on from that, but we don't see it.
Yeah.
We see nothing about Matt, and it's so frustrating because he is our other half. He is the love interest, the sibling. Just kidding. But
the most important thing, the love interest, the sibling, the cafe owner, the man who's afraid of birds.
Exactly. That's all we get, is that he's afraid of birds and owns a cafe, and his mom and sister died. That's it. Like, we don't get anything else. And it's just so frustrating. That's the one big thing I did not like about this book, is that Matt got no screen time. And I don't know if that was because she was trying to make a misdirect and be like, it's a secret that he's going to be the one that she ends up with, so let's just bury the lead on him.
Because it wasn't. If somebody read this book and said, oh, I had no idea Matt was love interest, I'd never talk to them again. It'd be the dumbest person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was too obvious. And also, if you didn't know, I'm really sorry. That was mean. But
I mean, it's so like, it's obvious.
It's written out for you right away. I think Matt had so much potential to be, like, the Nick Miller of New Girl. That is, like, who I think she wanted him to be, and mm-hmm. he makes Rugged look handsome, mm-hmm. and clothes look like they want to wear him. Mm-hmm. But then, like, we don't see that. He doesn't, you know, he's the fun-loving, he works hard. You can say that all you want, but if you don't show me it. Like, I think this book would have benefited so much from a Matt's point of view.
That's what I was literally about to say, is, you know, I love a good point of view change book. I say it in every single episode of the podcast, but I think this one is desperately needed. Mm-hmm. Katie's point of view should have just been the dates. That's it. That's all we saw from Kate's point of view is the dates. And Matt's point of view should have been the behind the scenes of Kate. Mm-hmm. Seeing Kate from a different angle, seeing Matt's side of how he feels about it. It would support their love a lot more. Matt's my secret crush. That's like another annoying thing is that she didn't even realize that she was in love with him.
And I didn't realize she was in love with him either. I knew she was going to end up with him, but I was like, does she suddenly fall in love with him? What? Exactly. You have been this whole time? Are you sure?
I would rather her just at the very beginning just blatantly say, I had a crush on him. Liked him. We had a thing at mm-hmm. one point. Give me something just like 500 pages into this book. No, halfway through this book, you're like, you know, I kind of like him. Like, it's so frustrating. And then Laura getting in, being like, he loved you and didn't want to tell you. And it's like...
Also, her being mad at Laura for that was insane.
Oh my god.
Dude. Okay, all three of you are best friends in a group. Yeah. If one of the people in the group tells me something that isn't going to directly hurt the other person if I hide it from them, something I really need to be concerned about for someone's well-being, and they say, please don't tell that person that thing, I'm not saying a peep.
Right. She's not just Kate's friend. She's also Matt's friend.
Matt is the godfather of her children. Mm-hmm. They're friends. That's not... She was friends with Matt this whole time. You could say she's better friends with Matt. When Kate and him stopped communicating, Laura was still friends with both of them.
Yeah.
She's been there with him this entire time, and she's gonna be like, why didn't you tell me? What do you mean, why didn't she tell you?
She's like, bros before hoes, obviously. Yeah. Okay.
I really liked Laura, actually. Anytime she was on there, I was happy because she would say something so random that she would have probably said bros before hoes in that scene. I liked Laura, and I think that she was being a good friend to Matt by not telling her. It clearly wasn't at a good point in Kate's life for her to know that anyways.
Exactly.
Where, like, it would have derailed so much where, like, she now has this career she loves. She traveled the world, and she had so many experiences that she would have just came back here and settled down with Matt. And then he might not have been even ready for it. Maybe it wouldn't have worked out because he clearly had a lot of things he was working through, which we don't get to see, unfortunately. If he was in love with her this whole time, she should be happy to know now. She never should have told her before. And, like, I don't understand how she was mad at her. But Matt's point of view would have been so helpful because he would have been the one to watch for, like, connection between the two of them. He was way more the hopeless romantic of the group. It was there.
I guess. I just didn't feel any connection with him.
I feel like he had the potential to be that guy who's, like, the rugged on the outside but has all these feelings. That's who he's set up to be. He doesn't act like that at all. But I could see from his point of view it being, like, you know, he's talking about watching her walk out of the room and, like, actually caring and paying attention to her. And, like, seeing his side of all of the dates, like, he made fun of her for him. He was very overprotective of her about them and jealous. Mm-hmm. And he had so much to say. He made his jokes. You know, when she went on that date with Oliver and she got blackout drunk and had to call him. And then he yelled at her the next day. That was one of my favorite scenes in the book. Because I was like, it's realistic.
Going back to Laura for a second. How do I best describe this? I'm between either analogy of she is a live actress on a set with cardboard cutouts. or that scene in I Am Legend when he goes and talks to the mannequins. She is the only character that has any depth to her, but everyone else is so flat that hers, instead of having a built-out round character, she is just out there because everyone else is so flat.
Yeah. Had the right vibe of, like, the mom who's always with her kids, so she, like, doesn't think about things that she says to adults.
Yeah.
Which... it's, like, a very common thing. I mean, I know a lot of people who have a kid and they spend a lot of their time with them and they they, like, go out with people and they just say random things because they don't remember, like, how to speak in a normal setting. Like, they say, like, things they'd say to their kid and then they're like, that was weird.
So, who would you say is your favorite relationship in this book?
This one was a struggle to find. I settled on Mac and Matt because I thought there was so much potential there to be, like, really cute. Where, I might just be forgetting this, but I know, like, obviously his mom and his sister died. I don't really remember what they said about his dad.
I think he left.
Okay.
He left shortly after. Yeah.
Evelyn's been taking care of him. Not only lost his mom and sister, he lost his dad on top of it. Like, Matt has so much that we could have dove into. It goes into a little bit where part of the reason why, you know, Matt and Kate talk to each other again is because of her dad and how Matt took care of him. And he really was, like, there for him. And they, like, hang out. They could have been so cute. Matt didn't have friends besides Laura and Kate. I feel like he would say Mac was his friend. And I was happy when, like, Mac and Evelyn got together because I feel like for Matt that was probably huge. That's like his mom and dad getting together. Like,
it gives more sibling vibes for Matt,
which is weird. Which is weird considering that him and Kate are going to be together and then stand-in mom is getting together with Kate's dad,
his mother figure.
Yeah, yeah. It is weird.
Yeah.
And that's why it makes sense that they act like siblings, is because they also, like, had all these years where they kind of, like,
they grew up together.
Yeah, I mean, they grew up together, you're gonna have that vibe. I'm way more happy that Mac and Evelyn got together. I just think there was more potential in their relationship to be, like, cute, and I like that he did step in when Kate wasn't there to take care of him a lot. Until she moved back, you know, even though him and Kate weren't friends at the time.
And the way that they stopped being friends is so hard.
Yeah.
Because she was also coming into her feelings and understanding that she was in love with him. And maybe not understanding, but getting the sense that she was in love with him. So having all that come down because of one mistake is, like, it's such a good storytelling device, but she doesn't deliver it.
Right. That is something that's genuine and real in this story, is the characters, how they care about each other. Like, I know they're in a small town and he would care for the other people in the town, but he doesn't have to. Even though him and Kate aren't friends, he's gonna care about her dad. He's gonna help take care of him when he needed it.
POV of Matt is just so needed here. Like, it would have developed out the story so much more. I said my favorite relationship was Matt and Evelyn's. Again, another relationship that could have been dubbed out a lot more. Because they were saying that she was a very stern woman. She loved, but she also, you know, took control when she needed to. She didn't put up any BS ever. She was a very stoic person, but she was a very loving person. And I'm like, give me more. Like, I want to see more.
Give me more Mac and Evelyn.
And I'm not saying I want a longer book. I think there's so much that could have been taken out and replaced with more beneficial stuff. Take out all that crafting. We didn't need any of the crafting. Literally craft with Evelyn. Wasn't she part of the Sex Kittens as well? I think she was.
Good friends with them at the very least. Yeah. I'm sure she could do a craft.
You want to play a little game?
Yeah, I think I got time for a game.
Well, this year, I figure, you know, season finale, we could do a pretty big one. So,
I have to go on 12 dates with random men that you planned for me?
Yes. And all of them are not going to be
hot.
Because we need to right the wrongs of this book.
Okay.
No, but I do have all 12 of the dates, and I need you to tell me who it was with.
Okay.
What the date idea was, and why it didn't work out.
Ooh, okay, okay. You know, I'm kind of mad, because in my head, I was like, the game has to do with the 12 dates. It might be like a matching game or something like that, and I didn't study still. Well, I had so much time.
If you want, I have something to help. Do you want to open a little Christmas present a little bit early?
Ooh!
Let me get it from under the tree.
I'm excited, actually. Oh my gosh.
We got a little Christmas present
It has a little Santa on it. He's so cute. Jen went and actually pulled this out from under our Christmas tree. And it says, to guest reader. Oh. Wow, you spent a lot of time on this.
I did spend a lot of time on this. So we have all 12 of the dates on here. Your little gift is a little post-it notes of all the names, all the dates, as well as all the reasons why it didn't go right. After you think you are absolutely convinced you have the right name, you can flip over your note card and it has the correct answer on the back. Mm. Once you've flipped it over, whatever person you put there, you can't move to the next one.
Okay.
So only flip it over if you're absolutely convinced you're right.
Okay.
So because it's going to be a lot of silence and Sabrina trying to figure all this out, we are going to meet you guys back at the end. A little skip ahead and we'll see you then. We are back, and now Sabrina has put along the people, the activity, and the reasons why it didn't work out.
That part, so easy. I can remember the people and what date they went on, why it didn't work. But figuring out what number it is gonna be a challenge.
Let's see if she's right. So, date number one.
Okay, so
what do you think we have?
Number one, without a doubt, was supposed to be with Richard. She got stood up because his kid was in the hospital, or so he says. And it didn't work out because she eventually found out he was married.
Yep.
So date number two, I have Anthony. They went ice skating. He was a hot fireman, but he didn't want any more kids.
Date number two, we have Michael.
No! I knew it! I knew I was wrong!
Cooking. And he cried about his ex.
Okay. Well, I've had put that one as date number three. So I know that date number three is actually Anthony with the ice skating, and I swapped them.
Yeah. So Anthony, ice skating, and didn't want any kids.
Wow. Number two and three, I already messed up.
All right. Okay. Number four, what'd you pick?
This could be right. I put it was Sam, but then it turned into Oliver because Sam left to talk to someone else, so that's his reason. And then Oliver was eventually because of Sarah, and this was the, like, cocktail-making one where she got blackout.
So, for date number four, we have Sam and Oliver.
Yeah! I really got scared.
Cocktail-making, and yeah, exactly what you said. It was funny because you had it there, and then you swapped them, and I was like, ooh, she's about to get three in a row wrong.
I'm so mad.
All right, now we got date number five.
Okay, date number five was Drew, and it was salsa dancing, and it didn't work out because he is a gay man.
Date number five, we have Drew.
Yeah!
Salsa dancing, and he is a gay king.
I'm still mad I got two and three wrong. I'm never gonna get over that now. This is where it starts to get less confident. The only other ones I'm confident about at this point is 11 and 12. So from 6 to 10, sorry if I'm wrong. It's embarrassing.
Okay, who do you got for date number 6?
I think that date number 6 was Mr. Phil. And they went hiking, and it didn't work out because he moved back to Australia to be with his ex-wife and his kid.
So date number 6, we have Sarah with dates with the mates. And we eventually learned that Oliver and Sarah knew each other, and this is what leads to ultimately Sarah and Matt breaking up. Date number 7, who did you have?
So date number 7, I had Sarah as the dates with mates. So I'm thinking that Phil and Sarah were switched.
Date number 7, we had Phil.
Okay.
They went hiking, and he moved back to Australia. All right, date number 8.
Hold on.
You switching?
Hold on, because I'm starting to get worried about 9 and 10. Because when she went on the date with Adam, she was like, I don't even want to do this. So I'm actually going to switch these. And if that's wrong, that's incredibly embarrassing because I was right in the first place. It's okay because, you know what, I'm out here to take chances.
All right. Date number 8.
Date number 8, I had Jim. And it was in London. They did the wine and dinner. And he wanted to sleep with her because there was a bet going around. And, oh, it is number 8 because he, I remember now, because he was like, you're going to ruin my 8-day streak. Yes. Okay.
Date number 8 is Jim, the wine and dine, wanting to sleep with her.
I'm happy.
Date number 9.
I believe that date number 9 was Edward. It was the escape room, and Richard was being a creep, man. He told him to stay away from her.
Date number 9 is Edward.
Yes!
The escape room.
Thank God I thought about that.
I know, you switched it last second.
Because I was like, I remember her being incredibly disinterested on this one, and mm-hmm. she was still with Richard on this one. She gave him another shot, that's why this one was like, whatever, and then they, like, broke up here.
Yeah. Because she was like, I'm gonna go to this this date because I already paid for it, so I might as well get the full experience.
Right.
So date number 10, who do you have?
I have Adam. This was the gingerbread house making, and it didn't work out because he had anger management problems and was a control freak.
Date number 10, we have Adam with the gingerbread house making.
Yeah, and then after Adam, her and Richard break up because she finds out he's married, and then Matt punches Richard in the nose.
And then date number 11.
Date number 11, I have Thomas, and that is the wine tasting, and he was a know-it-all. He was annoying.
Date number 11, we have Jimmy Job Booty Bob Beep. Just kidding.
Oh, Thomas. I don't remember him. Jimmy John Booty Bob Beep.
It was in the special edition book.
Oh, I didn't have that. I'm sorry.
I never would have got this one. We have Thomas with the wine tasting. And then the very last date, who do we got?
Okay, so the last date was a setup. It was a ruse. It was Drew, and then Matt, where Matt finally confesses his love for her in the park, where they're watching her favorite movie, her favorite Christmas movie, and the reason it doesn't work out is I'm sure something will come up.
Date number 12, we have Drew, and Matt, and it was like a choose-your-own date. And for some reason, they decided an outdoor Christmas movie was the option to go with.
Yay! Okay, so I got 4 out of 12 wrong, and it's just because they got swapped, each of them. I'm sitting at a hot 45 right now. Wrong. Which is good. That's good.
That's good. I want to talk about some missed opportunities. So what are some things that you would have done differently, would have changed? These are just purely our own opinions.
Dealer's choice.
Okay, here's one thing that really bothered me. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, we have Matt's cafe, the Pear Tree, which is a huge plot, I guess, point. It's his driving force of, like, wanting to stay here and move on, and maybe he feels connected to his family that way. And they have the pear picking in the back, the party that they have every year. And it's called Pick Your Own Party, where they pick their own. It really, really should have been Pair Your Own. Your pair own party, where you pair yourself with a pair. I'm just saying, I would have done that. You got an easy pun sitting right there.
Wow. Biggest missed opportunity. You missed a pun? How dare you?
No, I'm just kidding.
Speaking of, I haven't heard any more baking puns from you.
Oh, I'm letting it sit. I'm letting
the yeast rise.
Yeah, I'm letting it rise. Okay. My biggest thing is characters. Like, we talked about it a bunch of times. Just get to know your characters. It didn't feel like she knew her characters at all. It was like she was writing a book from somebody else's point of view. I'm just telling you the idea and you're writing it down now. Like, you have to give your characters some sort of drive, something to push them forward, give them fears, give them, you know, dreams, give them something to fight for. Maybe she loses her job and that's why she came back and now she's trying to find her passion again. Something. But there was no flaws in these characters. I would definitely say organize the narrative a lot more. Learn about Kate through the dates. Like we said earlier, where Kate has a point of view and Matt has a point of view. And through Kate, we only see the dates. And we learn through the dates, she discovers a little bit and like reveals herself a little bit more. You find out she likes crafting. You find out that she did travel the world. You find out that her dad is sick. You find out because she's revealing these parts of herself to the characters. Because each date, you know, you're going to have the basic questions where they're all the same, like, what do you do, what's your job? But some dates might expand out, and you might reveal yourself more. We just don't really see much of her, I guess, in-depth stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, each date could easily be discovering something new about Kate. Even the one with Michael. I mean, they were cooking, so you only talk so much while you're cooking, but they sit down to eat, and then she makes a joke, and he starts crying, but, like, you see maybe how Kate is a fixer in her life, where she has to fix all the people around her, which is why she helps Michael get back with his ex, and she makes him call her, and then they actually get back together on the phone. Like, there's a way to show something about your character in every one of these, instead of us seeing a million scenes of her being at her house by herself doing all these things. She could have very easily just been like, oh, well, I bake for a local cafe. Like, I think a fantastic way to do this book is to, like you said, have be so much of it be Matt's point of view. You're watching the character watch the love of his life go on 12 dates with 12 random men. You're learning about her through him, but also you're getting some glimpses of her on these dates, and that's how you learn about her, and that's how you find out why he loves her, and like the things that make her on her own. But then you're seeing so much from his point of view of, this is the woman I love, and I have to watch her continue to go do all this stuff. And him dealing with that fact of remembering the times they had together, and that he does love her, and that he might not be in love with his girlfriend like he thinks he is. Seeing that, there it would be a lot more depth from this side, because he is just more deep of a character in, like, the design. Like, we don't really get to see a lot of it, but then you learn about his past through him, which makes more sense rather than Kate just spitting out that, you know, his whole family died and he took over the cafe. Like, you see him running the cafe and talking to the other people in the town. Maybe he's even talking about Kate.
Right. I think that's why everyone knows, because he can't stop talking
about Kate. He can't stop talking, which makes sense why everybody in the town knows about Kate and everything she does, is because he can't stop talking about her. He's in love with her. It shows that he's in love with her. It's like, he can't get her out of his head. But just, like, a story about a man who is just, like, so in love with this woman and is watching her go on all these dates. That would be so cool. And I would love that.
So good. And, like, I feel like it's such a, just a huge missed opportunity, because it would have just gave so much more depth. I don't even care if it's the same writing style as this is.
Yeah.
I don't care that if it's blocky, as long as I get more in depth on it. Mm. My last thing is just the chemistry, both with the men and the dates, and the dates themselves. You learn that the author, I think, is trying to portray that it's not the men that's wrong, it's Kate that's wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, the men are just being themselves, and Kate's the one that's always thinking of the issues wrong with them. But it doesn't really feel that way. It seems like she is making the excuses, and mm-hmm. ultimately it's their fault that it didn't work out, when it should be Kate's fault that it didn't work out. Not saying Richard is the fight against that, you know, he was in the wrong there. But not everyone, like Anthony, it didn't work out because it didn't work out, but it's not Anthony's fault.
She talked about it as, like, he didn't want kids. It was his, like, when he was a perfectly nice man, he just knew what he wanted, and he knew he wasn't gonna argue on that point, and he didn't want to change his trajectory of his life for anyone, but that suddenly was his fault, and when she wanted to do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. My biggest thing is, like, your main character has to want to do this. She goes on and on about how she's only doing it because she spent a lot of money on this, and this is her last chance at love, mm-hmm. but she's not putting any effort into it. So you can't have her be shocked when these dates don't work, because she's not putting any effort into it.
Right.
She's not putting any effort into herself. She's like, oh my god, I'm 34 and I'm single. It's because you're not trying. If you want to be with somebody, you'll be with somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like she was already thrown in the towel.
Right.
And she's just like, I'm going to go because I put money into this because Laura made me do it.
Yeah.
It's like, no. If you, this is what your story you want it to be, then have your character maybe be like, I kind of like this. I like the thrill of it. I want to go do this now. It started out with, like, money, but now I want to do this.
Mm-hmm. Or show that she knows she's in love with Matt sooner than that. And this is a way she's trying to use this to get over him. Instead, she finds out towards the end of these dates for herself that she's in love with him, and she continues to go on him. At that point, she should feel disconnected. Mm-hmm. And when she goes on a couple dates with Richard and is really interested in him, that's when she should start to feel disconnected. Not on the first few dates. She shouldn't go into it being like, I don't know, probably won't work. I wish I was just at home on my couch watching Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
This isn't something, like you said, that you can do just because someone else made you. I don't think I could do a 12 dates with 12 strangers.
During the most busiest, time of the year.
I would be pissing my pants, okay? Like, I don't have time for this. But if I am doing it, I'm going to put the 100% in it.
Yeah.
It's because they weren't mad. I get that. But, like, she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be like now you understand why. Because it really still didn't make sense that that's the reason why.
Like we said, the idea is there. It's just it wasn't executed.
It's such a good idea. And Jenny, I will give you a shot at redemption if you write this book from Matt's point of view.
No. I won't.
Okay, well, I will.
Okay. Any other missed opportunities?
Really, the only thing, we were missing a Santa.
True, we were missing a Santa.
There was no Santa in this, and I don't know if I've ever experienced anything Christmas-related. There was not a Santa in it. That felt weird. It felt like he was missing.
But the kids, too.
Yeah, there's a bunch of kids. Clearly, that's not... Mac could have easily dressed up as Santa. And then, like, when that one day where he, like, comes into her house, he could have been dressed as Santa. That would have just been funny. She would have been like, what are you doing, Dad? And he's like, I gotta be Santa for the kids. The real Santa can't make it down the hill. Because, of course, that's the only excuse. And also, I wish that she would have told Richard's wife that he was a cheating bastard. I get it. You don't want to be involved in the drama. And he's like, she has a good life. But bro, you find out this man you've been on a couple dates with is married. She loved this guy in her head, right? She loved the idea of being with this guy because she's like, oh, I can be with somebody and it's not Matt. And it'll be great. We can be something. Because she made it all up. But then you find out he's actually married, but then you just block him on everything.
Right. Like, he doesn't know where
I was like, girl, I would have been like, Richard, wife, hello?
Yeah.
Just so you know, in case you didn't. Like,
I mean, you could have even found her on Facebook. Like, right. It doesn't specifically go into social media. Like, they don't mention social media. But this is very obviously 21st century. Like,
your husband's got hoes on the side. He's got ho-ho-hos on the side.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to let you know. And then block everybody. You don't have to be involved in the aftermath.
Well, unfortunately, it is time for us to go. The people in the distance are crying.
Oh my god, the children are crying in their beds. Santa's not coming.
But before we go, we do one last thing. We do the rating scale. We do it a little bit different here on the book stop. We make up our own thing. So I would give The 12 Dates of Christmas by Jenny Bayliss standing up at all 12 of the dates of Christmas. Just don't show up to any of the dates.
So you're going to pay all that money.
Yeah.
And you're not going to go. Well,
yeah.
Okay, but what if it was with women?
No.
No.
I'm busy. I would stand it up because everybody that would show up would be cardboard cutouts, and I don't have time to talk to cardboard
cutouts. That's true. That is kind of embarrassing.
This book was not my cup of tea. I did really like the idea, and I thought the idea would have been so cute if it done the things that we said. But there's just no depth to these characters. There's no driving force. The dialogue wasn't that great. Like, it was blocky. I just really didn't like it, and I'm sad to say, but I'm glad I read it. I got to experience it, but I would not read it again. I would not recommend it to anybody else.
I mean, yeah, it's clearly there's people that liked this book, and
very much so.
Yeah, and I'm so happy for them. I definitely think I liked it probably a little bit more than you, but I think I also tend to like Hallmark movies and cheesy romantic things a little bit more than you. I rated The 12 Dates of Christmas by Jenny Bayliss 6 dates with ungodly attractive men in their 30s out of 12. A 50% score is good for me on this. If I'm rating it in its own category, I really think I could have rated it a little bit higher, but it's just because I had so much fun reading it and then talking about it that I, like, it just really made it more enjoyable. It made it feel more, like, real. Like, if you have a book club with a bunch of 40-year-old women, mm-hmm. I think you guys would like this book. I think it would be really funny for you to talk about.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, writing and actual, like, quality of the book, I think it was lacking a lot. There's a lot that can be learned from writing a book. I hope that her other books are just as or more successful than this book was. You know, she found some good stories to write about, and people love it, and people continue to read her books. I love them. I just probably won't myself.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on during the wonderful Christmas season.
Thanks for having me.
You won't be back on until next year. We're going to do a podcast for my birthday in April.
As tradition goes, we have to do.
Yes. But it has been a grand old time.
Howdy doody.
Howdy doody. What was that guy's name?
I don't know.
Jimmy Booty Booty.
Jimmy Zamboni. Oh, signing off here.
I miss Zamboni. He was the best character.
Yeah, this is Jimmy Zamboni signing off from the podcast. I'm so happy that I was able to be here and talk to you about this beautiful story of Kate and her life. And
who's Kate? Oh, right. It's already gone from my mind.
I can't wait to read the book about Laura and Mac. Not being together. They're just best friends. No. Gross. Ew.
All right. And we'll see you next time. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Love you.
Bye.
Thank you for turning the pages with us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, show your support by leaving a review, sharing the episode, and following the podcast on Instagram at thebookstoppodcast. Join us on Patreon for early access to episodes and other additional content. Thank you for listening, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Hope you are too.